Good morning. I'm here presenting this LCCS tool, which is a pure TickleTK train traffic supervision system. I'll start to talk a little bit about LCCS, what is all about. What are train traffic supervision systems and how they look like? Probably most people are not familiar with these kind of tools. I will also present a little bit some details about the LCC implementation, how we read configuration and synoptic description. I will give some examples on this. Some words about reflection and code generation. And I also would like to highlight the TickleTK features I like most and which are relevant for this application. Hopefully there will be time for some questions. So, LCCS is a local train traffic supervision software and the name stands for local control computer software. It was developed by me and another colleague, which cannot be present here, for the Lisbon Underground Train Company. The idea was to demonstrate the feasibility of the entire train traffic supervision control software using TickleTK, because this LCCS is a single component of this larger control system. Also, we wanted to replace an already obsolete system that was just being installed at that time. This idea was very well supported by the engineering team, as well as the people operating on the system, which they really disliked the other system. However, it was rejected by the management people. I cannot figure out why. So, what are these traffic supervision systems are used for? It is important to make it quite clear. They supervise the railway state. They allow the operator to interact at the operational level of the railway service, granting or deferring a train departure, for example. It allows them to redefine itineraries, and itineraries comprise a source, a destination, and a specific path. Also allows them to conduct manually some kind of maneuvers and perform abnormal condition recovery procedures. For instance, a driver performed an unauthorized operation or some train is malfunctioned, so they have to follow some procedures. How they look like? Well, a system for supervising a train, it is more complex than this, but in the front end for the operators, it is a collection of local control computers and eventually, most likely, a central control computer. LCCs, which are what we are most concerned because we have developed the software for the LCC specifically, they look like a desktop computer. They are based on workstations, or probably nowadays it's mostly are based in PCs. However, in some sense, they look much like embedded systems. Why? We don't want operators playing solitaire on them. So basically, we have an X11 session, which will launch a single full-screen application, no window manager at all, and no further control on the computer is granted to the operator. He cannot be allowed to do what he's supposed to do. And the system must also be capable of recovering from software errors. And one strategy is to just restart. So the system should have no history. If the past doesn't matter, we can just restart any time without any consequence. So, one word about safety. Everyone is concerned with safety when they travel by train. And everyone is using here TCL, so we never know. So, in railway systems, safety and functionality are handled separately. So at the operational and supervision software tools, they handle the functionality. And while the PLC stands for Programmable Logical Controller hardware, it's a dedicated hardware, handles the safety issues. So we don't need to be concerned if our software is safe enough or not. So this is how it looks. This is a simplified view of a system. You have two PLCs, which one is controlling a portion of the railway system, you have the LCC, the local control computer, interacting with the PLC. The PLC typically is reading the state of the railway, things like the state of a railway switch, or the railway is divided in small parts which are called in Portuguese rail, something like rail circuits. I don't know if there is a specific English name for this, which are sections of the rail, which can be occupied or vacant. So the PLC is keeping the track of all this state, and is also acting on the rail by changing the state of the traffic lights. There are other components, other protections for safety in the rail, but they are not important for us here. So that in this particular description, the central control unit will gather the data from the rail by interacting with the local control computers. It could be as well by interacting directly with the PLCs. So in these LCCs, what we got, this is a screenshot of the LCCS. We got a synoptic of the railway. Here we have two, because often it's useful to have a view of the whole railway. Here we have a very simple railway with just three stations. We also have to, we'd like to have a detailed view for the region that we are interacting with. So we can, by simply clicking on the traffic lights, for some of them, we can change the state, the kind of traffic. This, they have very strict rules. We can only change manually the state of a traffic light, which is supposed to allow or defer a train departure. But other traffic lights, they are controlled only by the dedicated hardware. And we just say, we define a maneuver. We say, we want to go from here to there, and then we give this instruction to the PLC, and then it handles the rest. This is mainly because of safety reasons. And we can see which portions of the railway are occupied and which are vacant, where the trains are, and so on. This supports unlimited zoom, which is implemented in Tickl, but we will see this a little bit more in detail. So the original idea for implementing this tool was to have a TickleTK GUI and then a dedicated canvas for the synoptic and extensions for communicating the PLC and whatever else would be necessary. Soon we realized that none of this is necessary, so we dropped this idea and we coded everything in TCL. The synoptic that we have just seen, the communication modules, are TCL. The configuration can be TCL as well, as we know, and we realize this, and even the communication protocols can be some form of TCL. So in this implementation, even the communication with the PLC is a form of TCL. So we end up with what we can call a TCL orgy, where the config files are TCL, the program coded in TCL as well, the messages between the different processes which compose the application are also TCL, and as I already mentioned, the I/O with the railway system is also a form of TCL. This architecture end up to be slightly simplified, but essentially it remains. So let's just see how we read the synoptic and the configuration, because this is something which I think it's quite important. For this, we rely heavily on the use of safe interpreters. Without safe interpreters, applications which source configuration files cannot be trusted, because whatever is in the configuration file, we don't know. It's the user which writes these configuration files. So in realistic scenarios, they are not trusted, cannot be trusted. So we would have to write our own input processors, which is not very appealing. So with safe interpreters, it becomes straightforward to do it. And I give here an example how this can be accomplished. So we have here a simple procedure to configure the color of the system. For this kind of synoptics, it's very important to have good colors, because operators stay there for many hours in front of the computer. It should be comfortable. The colors must be comfortable. So this is a rather simple example. We have we define a set color procedure, which basically it will set an element in an array. It will just make sure that the keyword will be lowercase. It's just a simple thing which helps having user-friendly configuration files. Then it will create a safe interpreter. It will hide the set comment, and will create a new one with an alias to the set color. Then it will call the safe source. Safe source is just a hack, because we cannot source within safe interpreters. But basically, it will do exactly the same as the source. And then we'll just delete, as soon as the task is done, it will delete the safe interpreter and delete the set color procedure. We end up with an array of colors defined. So the initialization of the LCC system is something like this. We just have the config colors procedure for configuring colors. Then we configure the scale of the system, the language settings, and finally we load the synoptic. Synoptic is basically described by a list of comments referring to the elements which usually are present in the railway and that we want to simulate. It's not simulate, it's to represent, because this is a real-time representation of a real physical situation. So you can see CDV is a circuit de voix. This is because the system was original in French, and they were stick to this French terminology. So this means that we have a rail circuit. We give him an ID, a segment, and then a variable, which is actually the variable name used by the PLC hardware, and the label which will be visible in the synoptic. Of course, these segments have been defined somewhere else. So, but to make the configuration files manageable, we have defined this include comment, where we can include further files, like the ones where we define the segments. We have here an example, and here we have actually the actual coordinates for the segments. And so this can be hierarchical and quite simple. The scales file is just defining the X and Y scale. Well, for colors, you could have guessed by the procedure reading the colors, it's quite simple. For language, we have also a file for defining the language we are using and the strings for that language. So now some words about reflection. Reflection is to do with introspection and the ability of a program to inspect and change its own code. We are not really looking inside the code, but we are generating more code while we read the configuration files. This is how LCC was implemented. So we used a technique to generate automatically code in such way that for the simple example that you have just seen for these three stations, more than 50% of the code is for the application is automatically generated. Yeah, for large stand optics, it can go up to 99%. It's not difficult to guess. So just to finalize, why code generation, automatic code generation is important? Because we know code is hard to write, even in Tickle. And how hard is the code to write? Let's see, we have here a scale of hardness of code writing. We have the hardest is the reddish one, and then the softest becomes white. So application code is hard to write because basically it's the programmer who writes it. A little more harder is the code for generating code, just because it's tricky. We have to be very careful when the code is expanded, and so it is because it's trickier, it becomes even harder. But it pays back the effort. The configuration, as we have seen in this case, is also code, Tickle code, but it's very easy to write. It's almost in the bottom of the scale because you don't have to write it. Users will do it. And the dynamically generated code, this is comes for free because it's the product of the code for generating code with the configuration. If you make the product of these two, you get this area. Of course, as you can see, you get a huge amount of dynamically generated code. This is biased, of course. Because when you generate automatic code, you have some patterns, and this comes at some cost. Usually, it will be more code than it would be if it would be handwritten, of course. Anyway, it simplifies the code. So, just now it is really to finalize. The coolest Tickle features I like most are the TCL fine control of its slave interpreters. The fact that code and data share the same representation makes all this possible. And Tickle supports complex GUIs and mega widgets, as well as the simplest and ugliest conceivable GUIs. This is very important. Never drop this. Because applications like this one, we don't want fancy things. Typically, they want a pop-up, which you cannot even move around. And will not give a modal pop-up, which will not give you any other possibilities of interaction. So it should be do this or do nothing. So it makes these kind of applications possible. It's all. If you have any questions, of course, I'll be here to answer.
Can you say they didn't use this now?
No, of course not. They stick with the other tools. You know, there was decisions which have been made before, which the cost of changing would be very high for some people. So they didn't change. Well, this is a demonstrator. To become more serious, we would have to cross-check all the functionality with the specifications, and this would take quite a long. But this took 2 weeks or so. It's very small. You will have it in the CD. Unfortunately, it runs only in Linux because it hopefully it will also run in Windows. Because I know the Windows version will support or is already supporting the send mechanism, but it uses heavily the send mechanism, so. Thank you.